Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome back, dear friends and enemies, to Movies Hate You, the show dedicated to the films and television work of Alan Alda. And tonight we're going to talk to Radar from MASH. Oh, wait, that's the wrong show. That's the other show on Jackalope. Damn, I'm so sorry. Yes, Movies Hate You, a show about love. And you know what? I got some emails about what's this Movies Hate You crap, Rob? And why do you say that? And why do you call a show that? And it's because, and I think our illustrious producer, Todd Sheets, will just chime in. You could just nod yes or no, Todd. But I think all films are ego trips by the filmmakers. And they're self-serving, made by the filmmaker for the filmmaker. Therefore, they're not made for you. And they hate you.
I never made one out of ego.
Ah, see, I knew I'd get you to talk, Todd. I knew it.
I made them to give something back.
To give something back to the fans.
No, to the genre that I love. There was no fans. I didn't think I deserved a fan. I just thought I want to try to do something to give back.
But so the genre is not defined. This is an interesting point, Todd. And as you all know, all three of you who are listening, I like to turn the show on Todd first time, right when we start, just to give him a little bit of credit for what all he's done in the independent film scene over the years, because he doesn't get enough of it. And he's too modest to go out there and grab it for himself, the bastard. But what is the, I guess as Herzog would say, the truth of your filmmaking career, Todd? What is the ecstatic truth underlining your films?
I was a famous Monsters kid. I was a Fangoria kid. I loved monster movies, and I wanted to make some with my dad's Super 8 camera. And then I wanted to try to do something kind of cool, and I was hoping that maybe someone would enjoy them like I enjoyed movies like Slithus and Phantasm and movies that kick my movie's butt.
Okay. And you wanted to put films in there, in that mix, in that genre mix.
Yeah, I was hoping. And not that I'd be near as good as those, but, you know, anywhere near. But I still wanted to try.
Well, maybe they are, man. You know, that's the beauty of it, man, is that, you know, I can see Slithus, and I can see Zombie Bloodbath, and I can walk away liking Zombie Bloodbath more for whatever personal reasons based on all of my background and the famous monsters and everything that changed my sensibilities to react or adapt to films, right? So you can just make it. You don't have to say, I'm going to make it, it's not going to be as great, or I'm going to make it, it's going to be better. Now, most filmmakers say, I'm going to make it, and it's going to be better than anything else. It's going to be better than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's hardly ever the case. So you're on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I know it's not going to be better. I just want to try.
How do you know that?
Let's be honest here. Classic,
no.
Amazing Chainsaw Massacre and Goober with a camera that's never done anything.
Yeah, but you know what? Toby Hooper was a goober with a camera who had never done anything when he did Texas Chainsaw. So who are you to say your film is not going to be better received than any other film.
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah. I'm not going to say that I don't appreciate it, but I don't know why.
So if you didn't make them for you and you didn't make them for the fans, you actually made them for the genre. You made them for people in the business who've come before you or who still might be working. It's for them. It's just
an homage, like a, you know, homage. It was like, hey, you guys made my life better, you know.
And was the intention for them to see it? Is there a monkey in the background here? Or is that just is that my voice kicking back?
It could be.
It sounds like an ape. That would be true.
It could be an ape and still be your voice kicking back.
Could be both.
Exactly. Okay. I'm done talking because I don't have a voice.
I understand, Todd. You're not feeling well today. Everyone hopes you feel better.
Me too.
But I will get to the ecstatic truth of your films on one of these episodes, and we're going to keep digging. We are Movies Hate You, and we're sponsored by bmovie.com. That's b-movie.com if you have a computer and that internet thing that they keep talking about. Go check out some movies, some stuff that just came out. Todd, just nod. Two films by Mike Watt just came out on bmovie.com. I know you know Mike. Mike's a good guy. Demon Divas in the Lanes of Damnation just came out a few days ago. And The Resurrection Game, his zombie film. That's a lot different than Todd Zombie's film, zombie films. The 10th anniversary edition of Resurrection Game. And that's such a pitch. And you can find both at bmovie.com, where you can find all your B-movies. It just sounds like such a pitch. I'm trying to find a balance of working this in here. Of course, you know, they are our sponsor. We have to talk about them. I get 5 cents every time I say the name. It's the only payment on this radio show, and that's the way I want it. But how do you work in a plug? I got a good way. We get somebody on. We get the Movies Hate You resident reviewer. That's what we're going to do. And in fact, he's on the phone. I think he's with us. Mr. P?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Look at that. Boy, that was the worst segue ever.
Let me close my browser. I'm just looking at bmovies.com. It's where I go for all my B-movie needs.
Oh, really? Like, what kind of stuff do you find at bmovies.com? What was that again? You know. Bmovie.com, not bmovies.com. There's no X in there.
W-W-W, and then period. And then B.
Wait. Is it a dot or a period?
It looks like a period for me. I don't know. Do you call it a dot?
So you don't, if you're on your browser, you don't actually type in dot.com. It's actually a period. It's a dot. It's a literal symbol. It's a dot.
Exactly. Well, I can't even spell dot, so I wouldn't do that.
And we're still talking about bmovie.com, right? That's what you mean.
I believe it's b-movie.
B-dash. Like a hyphen. Not the long dash. It's the short dash. So you wouldn't have to hit shift. You would just hit the one right next to the plus sign. You would just hit that. It's to the left of your plus sign. So it's B, left of your plus sign, movie, not movies. There's no S. It's just like a singular movie. And then period, period.com or just period com?
I just write it out by hand. I don't even use
Do I spell out period?
And yeah, then just spell it out.
Dot.
Basically, anything you put into your browser, I think you're probably going to find it.
Anything?
And pretty much anything, yeah.
So if I just type anything, bmovie.com will come up.
Teen, sex, you know, something like that. Just what? Anything, I think. We'll just...
That'll just bring it up. Now,
well, it'll bring something up, and you'll probably be interested enough that you'll find all about
it. And then, like, seven degrees... From there, isn't everyone connected by seven clicks? Isn't that what they say?
Is that right?
I don't know. I'm just making that up. But there must be some kind of. There must be a theory.
Good.
It's like the Kevin Bacon theory that everyone's connected by seven clicks. So in other words, if I type that in, Like if I typed in, let's just say, I don't know, off the top of my head, bmovie.com, I would get, in seven clicks, I would find Lee Peterson, our resident DVD reviewer. Now, you know you're our resident DVD reviewer, though this is your first official residency on the Movies Hate You show as the movie reviewer. But I don't want to say DVD reviewer, because what if you review a Blu-ray, or what if you review something you saw in the theater? Like last time you were on with us on how you got this gig and how I forced you into it was that you reviewed a Serbian film for us.
Yes.
And yes. That you saw in the theater. You didn't see the DVD.
Well, I truth be told, I saw a pre-release version that was making it before the theatrical version.
Oh, a bootleg. Bootleg.
Oh, is that what they call it? No, I prefer gray market.
Was there a guy? Was there a guy with a blanket on 34th Street and 7th? Was that the guy?
No, it was a little Chinese woman who came into the laundromat.
I wouldn't expect somebody like that to have a Serbian film. I mean, come on. I could see like Saw 5 or something, but not Serbian film. That's a little bit too obscure, even for those sellers who are usually on top of their game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because back in the day, as the kids like to say, I'm talking like, I guess, early 90s, when in New York City, the bootleg business was rampant. I mean, you could walk down the street, you could walk down many, 14th Street, for instance, Times Square area, and people had stores, basically, selling bootleg tapes. This is pre-DVD, but VHS. And they were right out there in the open, and they had their little portable television set showing you what they had, and cops just walked right by. It was not even an issue.
Cops bought movies from these.
Here's a quick story. This is I swear to God, this is completely 100% true. I was I didn't capitalize the God because I'm an atheist, so I swear to God. But I digress. Anyway, I was
swear to the goddess.
The hey, B-movie now, come on. This,
all right, all
this
right.
Is my
all right.
Story. This is my story.
Ishtar.
But it's my show. You.
Okay, you're right. You can cut me off.
I am entitled to cut you off anytime. I am the shepherd.
It's true.
Right.
And I'm sheep.
You're the sheep. Yes. Okay, finish your story about the heyday of bootlegging in New York City.
Well, I'm walking along, and I see one of my favorite bootleg guys, an African guy, and that's kind of how it always worked. It was always African guys who were on the street selling tapes.
Now, are you being politically correct, and was he just an African American guy, or was he an actual African guy?
I believe he's an African guy. I don't know.
You know,
if he had
some
a green card
some people who listen
from Africa.
Some people, he's from Africa, like because he had a little hat on or something. I mean, what was the, like, what told you he was from Africa? He had an accent?
Well, no, he was wearing a loincloth and he was chasing a cheetah. What do you think?
I'm just feeling this negativity coming from you, man.
No.
I want to know the ecstatic truth of this statement. What is going on here?
I can tell you the ecstatic claim. I don't know about the ecstatic truth, but.
Yes.
But anyway, so the guy, so I go there, I'm looking at a video. He pops the tape in for me. And I remember it clearly. It was Fortress by Stuart Gordon. Remember that film?
Yes, I do. With Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, Christophe Lambert.
Christophe Lambert.
Christophe Lambert. So I'm looking at this.
The guy from Highlander, right? Yeah, that guy. I like that guy. No, God,
that guy from Highlander. Run out. Hey, I wonder if bmovies.com carries Fortress. This might be a good time to go.
Let me tell you, that's too mainstream for bmovie.com. That's how cool bmovie.com is.
Okay, well, at any rate, so I'm looking at Fortress, and as I'm standing there, and as I'm remembering, this is the 90s, I'm standing there with a can of beer in my hand, okay? This was when that wasn't a big deal. It was in a paper bag. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, the police car pulls up right behind me. And I'm kind of sweating. The police are pulled up.
The Fortress police.
the cop gets out of the car, right? And I'm thinking, oh my God, well, wait a second. I didn't buy anything from the guy. So technically I didn't do anything wrong. I'm looking at a TV screen. That's all. I do have a beer can in my hand. Okay. So maybe, you know, I gotta, you know, hide that or whatever. So the cop gets out of the car, walks over to the guy who's selling the tapes and says to him, do you have Reservoir Dogs? And the guy didn't really speak English. So he's kind of looking, he's sweating. I mean, he knows he's in lots of trouble. So he's sweating. And he like looks at me, and I said, yeah, you know what? I think I saw it. And I started flipping through the tapes, and I found it, and I pulled it out. I said, here you go. He goes, oh, it's a great movie. This is a cop. He's in his uniform. Everybody knows the famous scene from Reservoir Dogs. That was,
you know,
absurd
what they do
enough,
to cops? Right? Yeah, that's what they do to cops in that movie.
Exactly. So I'm standing there, and the absurdity of the situation made me say, hey, man, have you seen Bad Lieutenant? Which was also out at the same time. And he said, no, I heard about that. It's really good, though, right? Harvey Keitel. So I'm standing there on the streets of New York with an open beer can in my hand, talking to a cop about bootleg tapes and recommending
bootlegs.
Not only a bootleg tape of Reservoir Dogs, but also Bad Lieutenant. Probably two of the least cop-friendly movies.
Those are the most anti-cop movies ever made.
Exactly.
You know, the strangest part of this story is the cop only had one ear.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
That's just one of those only in New York stories that I thought I had to share.
Now, was this beer in a paper bag?
It was in a paper bag, yeah.
Okay, so that's legal, right? How does that work?
Funnily enough, I know the answer to this question because at a different time I was stopped by a cop who hassled me over having a can of beer. This is a long time ago. I don't do this anymore. But I'm walking down the street with a can of beer, and he stops me, and I thought I was being cocky. And I said, hey, wait a second. You know what? I know my rights. You can't, you know, it's covered. You can't even see what it is. You don't have the rights of legal search and seizure, blah, blah, blah. He was actually pretty nice about it. He said, well, actually, the fact is, I can see from the size of the can that it's a 16-ounce can, and soda doesn't come in 16-ounce cans. Mm. Therefore, it's reasonable for me to assume that it's alcohol. Therefore, it's not an illegal search and seizure. If you were drinking from a 12-ounce can, I wouldn't have the right to look inside the bag.
Hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it was pretty cool. At least you told me. So I cut off his ear, and that was the end of
the story. Yeah. So, and then he masturbated in front of you for like 5 minutes and screamed obscenities. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Johnny Ace was playing.
Yeah. And now for our friends who haven't seen either Bad Lieutenant or Reservoir Dogs, they will not understand these references, and they should go see those films.
They haven't seen those movies. They're no friends of mine.
They should certainly put those two films in their queue, or however else they enjoy their films, whether it's illegally or not.
Yes. Both films are available through legal.
Legally. And so is, and I know it's an unrelated film, but it shares the same name against the director's wishes. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call. What is wrong with my voice today? I'm like, my mouth is not catching up with my brain. Anyway, Port of Call, New Orleans. That's the Nicolas Cage Bad Lieutenant movie. I guess that's what we have to call it.
Right, now it's a sequel in title only, right? He plays a totally
Right. It's a totally different city. It's a totally different character. It was one of those, you know, I'm assuming the producers wanted the name on there, saleability. Werner Herzog directed one another. He thought it was a stupid idea, but I guess when they're handing you bags of money to make a movie, what are you to complain? Would you make a film strictly for money, Todd? I know you don't want to talk and you're sleeping.
No.
Okay, that's all. You don't have to say any more.
I would, if anybody's listening.
Yes, I would too. Todd is a rare breed. He is. And I mean in a good way. And Todd, you don't have to respond. We have to get some of your films to Mr. Lee Peterson, who we're on line with right now on movieshateyou.com, sponsored by bmovies.com. Did I say movieshateyou.com? Do you see what's wrong with my voice today? Don't listen to me. Just listen to our guest.
This is where my voice goes out to, right?
This is my what?
This is where my voice goes out to, and then we're stuck.
Yeah, this is where we're both like talking in tongues to each other. I think this is going to work out. You coming on and doing reviews. I think this is going to work out. Oh, you haven't done any reviews yet. Wait a minute. We've just been talking.
I haven't. Well, you know what, Rob? There's a couple of movies I just watched that I wouldn't mind talking about.
This doesn't have to be the case at all. But are these movies available at bmovie.com?
Funny you should ask. Yes, they are, and they're available right. You know what? Operators are standing by for your orders right now. So get on the horn and
virtual operators.
Exactly.
Ha! Billy Mays has nothing on us. You know, we are like those guys, a Billy Mays and that Australian guy. You know what I mean? We are like the pitchmen for movies. That's what we are. All we need are those khakis and the blue shirts. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, the industry needs that, you know?
It really does. It really does. I don't know what's going on with the movie industry. Do you? Isn't that a very vague statement? I don't know. What the hell's happening with the... with the movie business.
I'm still wondering what's with kids today, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So what's up with these laser discs? And what's up with this VHS crap that's going on? Come on.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Resurgence, right, in VHS.
Well, let me tell you, there was an article and this past Sunday's New York Times about the VHS resurgence in the horror industry, which is a very cool thing for all those into VHS and anyone trying to put them out. Gives it a little bit of legitimacy, jacks up the price. That can't hurt. I had said on a previous show it might have been Keith Crocker and 42nd Street Pete. They were complaining about torrents and downloading. And I said, VHS is the answer to that because you want to collect it, you know, like that. Movies have become so detached from films because we could just push a button and watch one, that to have an actual physical product that you have to mess around with and gives you problems and you have to fix the tracking and all that. That could be the salvation. Anyway.
Sure, and I think the same thing that happened with vinyl could be happening with VHS. I mean, vinyl was completely dead. Many obituaries, I mean, all the major media for years had written the obituary on vinyl, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's back. It's collectors it's back. Are collecting it, and you know, major artists are releasing their stuff on vinyl again, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, people... you know, you can't roll a joint on a CD box. So, you know, you got to have that big, big album. But, you know, besides the artwork and everything else, it's a keepsake. And it just looks and feels so much better.
You know, it's funny you said that because I tried to make a shelf just for my torrents. And they wouldn't, it just didn't look right up there. No, it's really... Yeah. Something about the OCD uniformity of albums and DVDs.
I was just reading something about torrents today. I know that's a can of worms, probably for a different time.
Yeah, but that's a topic for another show.
What was interesting about this was that and I wish I could remember the details, but somebody's suing over ebook downloads. Like that's mm-hmm. how they're going. They've identified, a handful of John Does that they're going to try to sue because they downloaded ebooks. I mean, is that pathetic or what? An ebook. I mean, what kind of a criminal downloads an ebook, you know? Oh, well, the best part is it was the For Dummies books.
It was downloading for dummies.
Yeah, downloading for dummies. Torrents for dummies. Anyway, it's just,
I think that's a topic for another show. I mean, I would ask the publisher what they thought if it was a stupid thing, you know, or the author.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
But anyway,
we should, you know what? This is a good idea. Put together an all torrent show. We'll get everybody on. We'll do a big pro and con torrent show. I think that's. It's a good idea.
No, I think it's a fantastic idea. I don't think I've ever really seen or heard a real discussion about torrents. I mean, I definitely hear comments from people, whether they're pro or con, but I've never really participated in or even monitored a discussion going back and forth. Because it's an interesting and, I think, complicated issue. And I think people...
It's also a silent crime. If people download, they're not necessarily talking about it because there is some kind of like, ooh, I don't want to get in trouble for it. The same reason you were standing in front of a bootleg shop in New York and you thought you were going to get in trouble because there was a cop there.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that. So, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of movies,
yes. Back to the matter at hand. Movies Hate You, sponsored by bmovie.com. That's our station ID on the fabulous, not to be imitated, jackaloperadio.com. I don't plug them enough. And if you want to email us, you can email us at movies hate you, no spaces, at gmail.com. Send some love and hate mail. Or don't send anything. Really show how you feel and don't send an email.
How about tweets? Can they tweet you? Whatever they do?
Well, wait a minute. Well, no, I would have to tweet. We don't have a Twitter account. Should we? Yeah? You think so? I don't know. Let Todd handle all that. It's called when you get a twit.
It's a twit. Okay, that's a twit.
Yeah, you get a twit. If you leave a tweet, you might get a twit. I'm guessing. I know you do tweet on Twitter, but I don't know if what you receive is a twit. Probably did just call it a pop.
Now what's a twat? Because I saw that somewhere too. That's a whole different
thing,
right?
That's for another show because this is a family show.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No. I was saying
last week and the week before.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about my flight on the way in. I had some TWA coffee, then I had some TWA tea. So that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
I was talking about the last show and the one before were not family shows.
Yeah, I know.
They were not family shows.
What can we do about that? I mean, I got to sell this thing, man. This show's going national, man. This show's going all over the place. I can't have cursing on it. But we're all truck driver mouth people.
Can you put a little beep in there? A little chime or something cute?
Todd only has so many fingers. There's like so many beeps to put into these shows. It's like the beep show. It's not worth putting out.
Well, when it gets that many beeps, yeah.
I mean, I think some of you guys are coming on just to curse, just to get me in trouble. Now, do you think the fine folks at bmovie.com want to hear cursing? I mean, they're selling a Serbian film. You think they want to hear cursing?
F no.
I mean, it's fine family entertainment we're pushing here. Did you watch and review anything this week, or are you just wasting my time, Peterson?
Both, actually.
Okay, fair enough.
Here's what I want to talk about. There's a new movie.
Yes.
What's that? Okay.
I said throw it. Go ahead. Let's talk.
All right, let's talk. There's a movie called The Night Shift.
The Night Shift. That's that Henry Winkler in the morgue. They have hookers. Right.
That's That's the other one. No, this is... actually, the difference is this is the Night Shift, so that to differentiate.
You wouldn't want to put the wrong Night Shift in your queue.
No, you. Well, in this case, you might want to, actually. If you have been involved in movie production in any capacity at all, you know how hard it is to make a movie, even a bad movie. It's as hard, in my opinion, to make a bad movie as it is to make a good movie.
Even if you intentionally set out to make a bad movie.
It's still hard work. It's long days, lots of concentration, lots of work, blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to rip apart anybody's hard work with just a couple of words. That's, anybody can do that. Anybody can say, it's a piece of dung. It's a steaming pile of,
Why do I sense a bad review coming up? I sense a bad review coming up.
Well, I can't say that I enjoyed the movie. What I will say is that my hat's off to the guy for making the movie, for the hard work. I believe the fellow's heart isn't definitely in the right place. It's kind of a nostalgic, I guess you could say family friendly. I don't know if to be honest, if kids would have the patience for it. The story is basically a guy.
Kids meaning. Cemetery. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. I kids. What do you mean by kids? This is a movie for little kids.
Well, no. I mean, as far as content, it's family friendly. It's not. There's no cursing. There's really no blood. I think it's probably intended to be family friendly. As far as that goes, anyways, it's about a guy who's a caretaker of a cemetery, kind of like Della Morte, Della More. He is basically keeping all the ghosts and zombies and spirits or whatever that live in the cemetery inside the cemetery gates. That's fine, the main problem with the movie is the pacing is so slow. And it doesn't help that it's 126 minutes. Kind of movie. It's kind of dull. If you, like I said, the guy's heart is definitely in the right place. He's very obviously very fond of older movies of slapstick of. I think maybe he was influenced by the Frighteners, the Peter Jackson film. Has kind of a similar tone to that. Very DIY. My hat's definitely off to the guy. I think it would definitely help to tighten it quite a bit. If you could tighten up the movie.
Well, it's too late now. It's been released. Yeah, it's been released.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, what is this advice? Special edition advice?
All right. You're right. Well,
now the tagline for this movie, you're mean. You're a mean reviewer because in this is meaner than if you came on and said it sucked because you're drawing out this review, and you're really hurting the filmmaker's feelings. I can tell. I don't know the guy or girl. I don't even know who made this, but you're hurting their feelings. Your review is almost as long as the film. And it's just torturing. You're torturing this poor person, and it's not fair. It's just not fair. Now, what does the box look like? Is it nice artwork?
Rob, I worked hard on this review. I put a lot of hours into this, and you're just ripping me to shreds in like 2 seconds.
Well, you put 2 hours into it because that's the length of the film.
And 6 minutes.
And 6 minutes.
2 hours and 6 minutes. Okay. All right. Be that as it may.
So the tagline for this movie is, some heroes are born, others are made. This one's embalmed. Yep. So the lead you keep talking about, this caretaker, is a zombie.
No, he's a human. But
he's embalmed. Is he the hero, or is he just the caretaker?
He's the hero. He's the hero. The villain is a vampire kind of, maybe he was a, I know he was a cowboy, like a cowboy vampire, who was up to some mischief, and that kind of sets the plot in motion, as it were. But to change a bit, there's another movie.
My job is to defend the filmmaker as well as defend your review, and you're entitled not to like the film. And I want a little more meat than that. I mean, what it just didn't work because it was too long. The pacing was not quick enough. It wasn't moving for you. What else? Was there a lot of budgetary constraints that you could see in makeup effects and camera work and post-production CGI or whatever else they were trying to do?
Yeah, definitely. All of those things, actually. I didn't really notice any CGI. I mean, it probably is a little bit, but there's definitely some post tinkering with the image to whatever make it.
Now, I know you're a fan. The color corrected, film look, all this was there.
Yeah.
I know you're a fan and a defender of independent films, so I know you're not going to give any film a bad shake just because of budget constraints or whatever. So, I do trust your opinion, and that's why you're on the show, and that's why you are a resident DVD and movie reviewer. This show, this whole episode of Movies Hate You is to introduce Lee to our audience and to get to know him. I just didn't want some guy to come on like, hey, I'm the snarky guy. I'm going to say a couple of things about DVDs and I'm out of here. I don't want people to get to know him. He's somebody worth knowing. He has a lot of knowledge on this stuff, and I just don't want people to get the wrong idea. And I want filmmakers to know that, we want to give films a fair shake. We don't want to just be dismissive.
I want to give a really fair shake when I'm shaking them and throwing them out the window.
Todd, you better send us some of your films because Lee wants to review.
No, that was my film I was just talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Night Shift. No, but we want to review your films. I mean, I can give him some stuff from my collection, but you tell me what you want him to watch, and then we're going to come on and we're just going to do like an all review show of your stuff.
No, there's no need. Just put It Sucks on the top and be done.
Okay, so he's not complying with us, Lee. So I know he probably can't hear us. To go to one of these sites and download his movies, and then we're gonna watch and talk about them. I'll
slap you in the face for that because
for talking about them or downloading them.
For downloading them because they're not the right versions. Half of those are like these bad rough cut versions that snuck out.
Really, the ones that are out there.
Yeah, it really makes me mad. They're not the versions I wanted to put out. They're the ones the producers slipped out and gave to people when they weren't even ready.
Mm. Years ago, I was writing reviews for an online horror site. And I can't remember what the movie was that I reviewed, but it was something I didn't like. And I was being unnecessarily snarky about it. And I put in an offhand comment that was not even related to the film necessarily, but it was comparing it to something along the lines of, I'd rather watch the blah, 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 bimbo crap of blank. And I threw out some independent filmmaker's name.
Todd Sheets.
It wasn't Todd Sheets. Should I tell you who it was? It doesn't matter too much. It was Kevin Lindenmuth.
Kevin. Yes, now, I know Kevin.
To be fair, I didn't know his films well enough. I sort of used him as a punchline.
And
it was stupid. It was a dumb thing to do because I wasn't well versed in his movies. Now somehow
You hadn't seen any of his films and you did this.
No, I've seen a couple, but I didn't. He wasn't.
He's made some good films. Addicted to Murder is great.
I should have not said what I said.
Vampires and other stereotypes. Come on, man.
At any rate, he got wind of it, and I got an email. I got a very nasty email from him, and it was well-deserved. And, at first I was a little pissed. I was like, well, come on, you can't take a joke. And then I thought, you know what, he's right, actually. I had no right blasting his movies just just dismissing his movies for the sake of a cheap joke, and I apologized to him, and we were cool about it, you know. But I think I've learned my lesson that think about what you're saying, and you know, any, like I said at the beginning of this, anybody can trash your work in 2 seconds by calling it a piece of steaming pile of turds or whatever. But it that isn't fair. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's just too easy to review something and blast it.
That's my biggest complaint about reviewing. It's one thing if you're watching reading a mainstream review, but when you get into this independent horror and I guess that's it, independent cult exploitation, whatever, and then somebody goes and, you know, they get something like this film, The Night Shift, and it doesn't live up to it's the weirdest thing. It's like all of a sudden everybody wants Hollywood standards when they're dealing with, like, a, you know, the guy told you on the box he made the movie for $3,000, and then you're mad, and then you're like, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Well, he made the movie for $3,000, you know. But there's just no rhyme or reason to why critics kind of get so bent out of shape over these films that they chose to put into their player and watch. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like you put in you know, the latest Tom Cruise movie, and it was shot on video, and you couldn't believe it, and you were just shocked. I'm amazed at, oh, this is the worst movie ever. Man, if you had a nickel for every time, like, one reviewer said, like, this movie was the worst I've ever seen, there's just no look. It's a wild west. There's no formal training for any of this. You know, especially when you're talking about genre stuff. Anybody who's ever been any good, usually been self-taught. Mm-hmm. But I like the humanity that you're bringing to this. I like that you said that. I like that you have that story, and I like that it will help mold your reviews. So, how crappy was this movie? Let's be honest, Night Shift.
It wasn't. I've seen a lot of crappy movies. I've seen, you know, of all stripes and of all budgets, and it's not crappy. It's just the pacing really works against it, and I think, you know, with a budgetary limitation, you have to figure out, first of all, what your limitations are. You have to be aware of them, and then work towards your strengths, because if you have amateur actors, don't give them 10 pages of script. If they can't pull it off, don't give them monologues. You don't have to have monologues. Something like the Blair Witch Project, and I know a lot of people don't like it, I think it works perfectly to its strengths. They had basically amateur actors. They had no money to spend on special effects or anything else, so they used that. They used that to their advantage. Instead of, and I don't want to name any other films which are exactly the opposite of that, but something, if you have $3,000, don't make a futuristic, post-apocalyptic war movie where you should have hundreds of extras and lots and lots of dialogue and lots of special effects, because it's just going to look bad. So use what you got and make it work for you. And so I don't think a low budget is an excuse to make a bad movie.
I agree. But there is something about ambition. When somebody tries something so insane on such a small budget, sometimes it has its own sick charm. Sometimes it has something to it.
But absolutely.
Go ahead. I was going to say that's the exception.
I was going to say, I would rather watch a 3-hour David the Rock Nelson movie. And I'm being honest; I'm not making a joke. I find his movies fascinating. And this guy has, you know, $10 to spend on his movies, and yet I could watch them. I watch them, and I'm just completely fascinated, and want more and more and more, because I think he's got a real,
His films are sublime. His films are sublime.
Yeah, it's sublime. He's got he's looking for something. He's got a story he's trying to tell you, or he's got emotions that he wants to put down on video. You know, the guy shoots on VHS, I think, and has for years. And he's been making movies for, I don't know, 20, 30 years or something, and hasn't seemed to learn anything about the process. But he's making them all in his backyard by himself. He shoots them on his video player, and he edits in his basement, and it's all great.
Maybe he's learned all he needed to learn. You know what I mean? That's his ecstatic truth. Is that's it. That's it. That's where it starts, and that's where it stops, and you're in or you're out. You get it or you don't. And it sounds corny and superficial, but it's true. You either get David or Rock Nelson or you don't. There's no way around that.
Right, and who knows what if he had a camera crew, I mean, if he had a crew and decent equipment and a budget, who knows what they would look like? They probably wouldn't be interesting.
It would be a disaster.
They are what they are.
It would be a disaster. The movie there would be the making of that movie. That would be the movie if they gave him money and a crew. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Like you said, there's a truth to David the Rock Nelson that he is doing and he's putting out there. And no one can take that away. And that's why he has fans. And that's why people, all that, it's all transcended. All the budget, and the of course, yes, he does it on VCRs and camcorder and, you know, whatever. Sure, to an outsider, it's crap. Sure, if you put it up against what your perception of a movie should be or what the textbook tells you a movie should be. But that doesn't matter. It's like, you know, Todd, who's always putting down his own movies, has a truth inside his films, and it could be about the personality of people in his life. It could be anything. There's a truth in there, and it comes across. There's a sincerity to his films that come out, no matter the budget. So they didn't have budget for, you know, a cage, so they put somebody in like tinfoil cage, or you know, the vampire teeth from the store down the street, whatever. What's beyond that? You know, look at it past that. Most people can't. Most people, this is a crappy movie. Oh, then, you know, oh, it was shot so poorly. Oh, they make fun of it. Snarky, blah, blah. Easy to do. I've done it. I spent a lot of time reviewing movies in my life, and just how clever can I be? How mean can I be? And I got the hate mail too from people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I stand behind those reviews. They were done at a time in my life when that's who I was and that's how I felt. But there's more to it. If you don't start reaching deeper into genre films, exploitation, horror, cult films, then you're wasting your time. You're always going to be disappointed. And I think that's the point of this show. The movies do hate you unless you understand them, unless you know how to approach them, unless you know how to have a relationship with them. That's Tell us the next movie.
Last thing I want to say about that, though, is
yes, I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off.
No, I want to agree with you. And when I watch a movie, I ask myself two questions. One, what did the filmmaker intend to do? And two, was he successful? And really that is what you have to bring to, you know, you don't have to bring that to, a big budget movie, Avatar or something. You don't have to ask yourself that question, really, because it's all there for you. You don't have to connect any dots. It's there, and you just look at it. But with any other movie, you think, well, what's this guy trying to do? What's the point here? And then is it successful? And something like the Blair Witch Project, I think it's 100% successful. Here's what they intended to do. And this is what they did. And to me, it works like a charm. You know, some other people couldn't get past the camera work or whatever. A lot of people are just being snarky and they want to dislike what other people like. But to me, it works perfectly.
I think that it also didn't. Blair Witch did not pay off the way people were expecting it to. You know, people didn't get the, you know, the 1-2 punch at the end.
Guy was peeing in a corner. The guy yeah. was peeing in the corner. That's all there was.
See?
Well, that's this scary, is right. though, man.
There was no 1-2 punch. I was like, I sat through this whole movie and watched this sniveling freak and crying and you're making me nauseous so I could see a guy pee in a corner.
That's it. That's it. You did not. You sat and watched the movie. You did not sit with the movie. Ah, there you go. That's why the guy's peeing at the end. You wanted to see the witch, right? You wanted to see the monster. You wanted to see the red eyes come out of the darkness and grab somebody and pull them into
Dude,
the night.
I'd have been happy just to see all of them wiped out in some way. I didn't care. But
they were.
It was you couldn't tell. It was shaking all so bad. I felt like I was in the middle of a damn Coney Island nightmare.
It's your imagination. Coney Island nightmare. Oh, right. I like this guy.
I like Coney Island, but the difference is I was sitting in a movie theater, not in the middle of a tilt-a-whirl.
But why can't a film be a tilt-a-whirl?
Well, it can, just not tell me to go see it because I'm going to get like freaked out and be nauseous.
Well, you shouldn't have listened to him.
When I saw Cloverfield in the theater, I watched it, and I loved Cloverfield. At the end of the movie, as the credits are rolling, almost, and this is probably 8-9 minutes of credits, at the end of the credits, a woman who's in front of me stands up and says to her idiot friend, "That was the worst film I've ever seen." And I want to say, and you sat through the credits? After 8 minutes of credits? Seriously, that was the worst film you've ever seen? I mean, I can't even imagine.
The thing I liked about Cloverfield was that it was such a technical achievement to be able to match the stuff they had to do effects-wise with that shaky footage. It was really difficult. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think people, you know, I saw this in a regular multiplex, and people who didn't know what the style was going to be were probably just turned off by it because they're expecting a regular Spielberg kind of sci-fi movie.
Yes,
and they were completely confused by the.
I love that they didn't get what they wanted. I love that.
Well, it's like Paranormal Activity. You know, people say a lot of bad things about Paranormal Activity, but I thought it was a more effective film because not only did it kind of make you work for it, but it kind of gave you the payoff, unlike Blair Witch, where I didn't feel like, I mean, I felt like I was on the worst roller coaster ever. It's like I was all hill and no, it was like all going uphill, you know, with a little chain going rattle, rattle, rattle. And then you finally got to the top and you're like, yeah. And then you were back in the station.
Like, that wow. Shaky cam, that was the horror. That was the horror. That was,
it was horrible.
The confusion and the disorientation. And
listen,
that
you,
was
you
that
know,
was the horror.
I know you're going to agree with me on this. The problem with that movie is that every Tom, Dick, and fool decided now it's actually a style to shake a camera. Whenever I went to film school, you would get an F for shaking the camera. Now it's a style. Well, I got news. It's still not style. It's still just shaking a camera. It's not style. It's annoying. It's lack of style. It's like, I don't know what else to do to make this intense, so I'm just going to shake a camera. It's like if you saw the guy's follow-up, Myrick's follow-up, which I thought was kind of a good movie with Amy Smart, Seventh Moon, okay? It had the potential to be great. And what did they do? They ruined the most effective scenes by shaking the camera so bad you couldn't even see what was happening.
I did not see that.
It was a good flick, and all of a sudden it's like, why did you, idiot, that's not a style. In Gamer, it shook so bad, my son and I looked at each other and said, let's leave. I'm a Gerard Butler fan. I had to leave. Why? Because I was fed up. I was like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Any 2-year-old can shake a camera. Show me style. Mm-hmm. Show me Fulci or Argento or Lamberto Bava. Show me Sam Raimi. He didn't have to shake the camera during Evil Dead, and it was intense as hell.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it inspired a lot of bad filmmaking. But then I think, you know, you could say that about lots of good films inspired.
Well, not Gilbert, what I'm. Definitely. That doesn't bother me. I mean, if Blair Witch inspired more filmmakers to go out and take a chance, that's fine. What bothers me is all the spoofs that it inspired. Those are really bad.
It's interesting because has that ever happened to any other film? I mean, there were. I don't know how many there were, but there were.
Not that I know of. There were at least 20. Of these Blair Witch spoofs. I mean, everyone was cranking out a Blair Witch spoof.
Yeah. Linda Blair was in one, short.
Absolutely.
The Blair Witch Project, yeah.
All right. Now, Lee, I'm going to rush you because we're running out of time, and I want to get to your other review, and okay. But we're going to have to make it quick. So what else did you see?
My other feature is the Puppet Monster Massacre, which is another DIY. That's, of course, do-it-yourself for you at home.
Awesome. Oh, jerk. What a
doing
jerk.
It yourself right
what
now.
A jerk.
Okay.
it was an awesome movie.
It's a puppet movie.
Awesome.
The puppets look like Muppets. They look a lot like the, what was his name, Roosevelt Franklin, remember him? From the early days, Sesame Street, the African-American puppet, although he was purple, I think, but he was supposed to be black anyway. So they all kind of look like that. It's, you know, the greatest thing about it is it runs 70 minutes, which is perfect. Get in, get out. You don't waste a lot of time. It's got sex, it's got gore, it's got cussing. It never approaches the inspired insanity of Meet the Feebles, Peter Jackson's Meet the Feebles, or even Let My Puppets Come, if anybody remembers that.
I do.
Gerard Damiano, Triple X, movie with puppets from the 70s.
I have that on VHS. Anyway.
Yeah. The big box.
I have the small box.
Oh, well.
I have the slip case. I have the slip case VHS. It might be. I'm sure it's cut. I'm sure it's softcore. But anyway, Puppet Monster Massacre.
Great movie. Very creative.
Puppet Monster Massacre. Yes. It was fun. It was, like I said, it never overstays its welcome. It's short. It's, I watched it by myself in a completely sober mindset. I would advise people to not do that. I think it would probably be a good party film. No, I don't mean because it's bad. I mean, I think it would be a lot more fun with a group of friends and a six pack. Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe get a prescription for some medicinal marijuana, you know, something like that. I think it would be a riot that way.
I'm gonna send it to Pete.
Recommended to Pete. I think he's
recommended to Pete. There you
right
go.
Now.
That's
probably that's the, he's probably at the pharmacist right now pulling his prescription.
I think he's administering the prescription right now. I don't think he's at the pharmacist. Do they have medicinal marijuana shops?
What's that?
I said, do they have medicinal marijuana shops in Cleveland? But they don't have anything in Cleveland.
Oh, I don't know. Will that be paper, plastic, or glass?
Right, exactly. So this is a positive review. This is a movie which Todd loves and I love. And now you're a convert as well. This is a great low budget film. I'm sold just on the name. You just tell me the name, I'm like, okay, I'm there. Even if there's one puppet in it, I'm sold on the name. But the whole movie's puppets, which is even better. And it's about time. It's been a long time since Meet the Feebles. It's been a long time. So the world was due for another disgusting puppet film in some form, in my opinion.
Exactly. And you know, the title thing is another. If we're contrasting and comparing the two titles that I'm reviewing this week, you've got The Puppet Monster Massacre, which you'd pretty much have to be an idiot not to know what you're
sold.
Getting yourself into.
Yeah, sold.
Versus The Night Shift. What the hell is that? It could be anything, you know?
Right. It could be a drama about a convenience store.
Say goodnight, John Boy.
Yeah.
Lee? You know what?
Yes.
This has been great. I think we're going to have you back, but I'm going to let the listeners decide. And if they say no, I'm going to bring you back anyway. I want to thank you for coming on for this episode of Movies Hate You, sponsored by BMovie.com. All the movies Lee talked about tonight can be found at BMovie.com or other places, but you don't want to go there. Support BMovie.com, and then this show will keep going. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Anyway, thanks for joining us. You can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next time. Todd, as always, you're a gentleman and a scholar. Thank you for having us and producing this fine show, and we'll see you next time.